This episode began with a conversation I had with my brothers Chase, Nick, and Neil regarding Dominic Foxworth's recent comments on the Bomani Jones podcast, and progressing to explain how the Democratic Party has built a coalition of different intersectional groups with differing cultural viewpoints through common enemy identity politics, and what it may mean for the freedom of people associated within these represented identity groups, as demonstrated by the backlash against Ice Cube for meeting with the Trump administration in order to promote his contract with Black America.
It's based on the people that are defending Josh Allen. I would be 100% lying if I said that when Josh does something dumb, a little part of me doesn't get happy. And it's not because I want Josh to succeed. It's because the people who are telling me that Josh is the second coming and Josh is better than everybody are people with American flags and dogs and skull and crossbones in the abbeys. And then if you go just take a dip into their tweet history, it's some really concerning retweets and likes.
We'll get into any specifics because that would take me actually knowing what I'm talking about as opposed to just talking in a very generalized, very vague form that we can all get an idea of somebody who has American flag, a pit bull, and skull and crossbones.
Who's that guy? He's hinting that the followers of Josh Allen are a bunch of white supremacists who are racist.
I didn't realize that Raider fans were also Josh Allen fans. Skull and crossbones? What?
No, I think it's not just about being pirates. I think what he's talking about is like people that went to Yale that are part of that Skull and Crossbones secret society.
Golden Bones.
Fraternity.
The Bushes.
Yeah.
No, wait. John Kerry was in it.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, though, that Dominique Foxworth, who is educated, he went to the University of Maryland, and then after he got done playing in the NFL, he got his graduate degree from some other better school. I want to say it's an Ivy League school, but I could be wrong about that, so I'm not going to talk about. But so he wants to take his higher education, and he wants to try to act like he's so smart and we're all so dumb, and that's his stick on everything. You know, when he was a player, he was also part of the players' union, and I think he was president of the players' union at one point, or definitely higher up on that list. So he comes from a place of power. He comes from a place of where he feels like his voice is powerful than other people's voice. And I do remember back in the day when the draft of Josh Allen in that draft, I think it was a 2017 draft, or 2018.
Right.
Yeah, so yes. With Darnold and Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, and then that other guy from UCLA who sucks. But so back in that draft, there was controversy about some tweets that Josh Allen had put out when Josh Allen was like 15 years old. Josh Allen was dropping the N-word like based off of rap lyrics. Seeing that Dominic Foxworth is going off of is based off of that tweet that happened, you know, when Josh Allen was 15 years old.
Anyways, as far as Foxworth's comments go, I think what he's referring to is American flags. That's one thing I don't understand about the left. When they see American flags, they get threatened by American flags. But why is it such a left-wing, right-wing thing that if you have an American flag on your truck, let's say, you're probably a conservative Republican?
Probably. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed, right? Why is it such a weird thing for people to be proud of your American flag? And that's a right-wing thing. Or that's a Republican thing.
That goes to the position of if you feel threatened by that flag, what does that make you to that country?
A lot of this has to do with intersectionality. And what I mean by that is that people can be classified by different characteristics and that these characteristics also have social consequences associated with them. These characteristics pertain to your race, gender, religion, your fluency in the English language, whether you are rich or poor, and other characteristics which define you as a person. These characteristics intersect and overlap with one another and lead to different systems of discrimination or disadvantage in society. Different identity interest groups have formed to assist with the promotion of their specified class of people. Past intersectional identity coalitions since the passage of the 1965 Civil Rights Act practiced common humanity identity politics, where the party platforms attempted to attract supporters based upon shared values. An example of common humanity identity politics is demonstrated in Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech.
This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned.
Martin Luther King appealed to the humanity in those who opposed racial equality and found grounds in shared values and codes like the U.S. Constitution to win them over in the debate. The problem with organizing a political platform that encompasses all the different identity interest groups is that they all have different values and interests. White secular atheists have conflicting interests with Black Southern Baptist Christians or Somali Muslims, both of whom oppose abortion and the normalization of the LGBT community. The way the Democratic Party built a coalition tying together the different interest groups like Muslim Americans, the LGBT community, the Black community, feminists, and far-left socialists is through common enemy identity politics, directed against Christian, heterosexual, white males. Surprisingly enough, it is white males who are the loudest advocates in support of this common enemy identity political coalition and promoter of white guilt, as South Park creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker have depicted in regard to the predominantly white PC fraternity and the promotion of social justice by checking the privilege of others.
To prove you belong with PC is go out there and check someone's privilege.
Finally, yes!
I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
Topher, can you explain? Check your privilege, please.
That's getting someone to acknowledge their own inherent privileges and reminding them to put them aside in order to better understand another human's plight.
Parker and Stone's portrayal of the predominantly white PC frat was later exposed as being predominantly motivated for the promotion of social justice as a way to hook up with women. In reality, male white members of the Democratic Party's intersexual coalition used their political correct social intimidation tactics as a way to absolve themselves of white guilt and instead redirect the ire of the identity interest groups towards the Republican Party by policing the speech of the public and cancel culture. The Human Rights Campaign, or HRC, is the largest LGBTQ advocacy group and political lobbying organization in the United States. They are the group whose logo is the equal sign inside a square. Anyways, their organization's leadership consists primarily of gay white males who are a patronage wing of the Democratic Party. Chappelle specifically addresses this in his LGBTQ car joke.
It's together all the time, LBGT, LBGT, and you think it's just one big movement. It's not. All those letters are their own movement. They just travel in the same car together. My guess is the G's are driving that car. That makes sense to me, because there's white men in the G's. And these people are trying to get around discrimination and oppression. And you know how white dudes are. We know these roads. In fact, we built these roads.
Political correctness and what later has been referred to as counterculture self-promotes themselves as the guardians of tolerance, but in all reality, their purpose is to redirect all hate towards the other class, who are represented as conservative Republican white male heterosexuals. The white male Democratic Party leaders are like the PC frat in South Park, who attempts to stifle the free speech of everyone else in society under the guise of promoting social justice. They are not included in the other white people category because of their special status as members of the Democratic Party. Everything that the conservative white male associates itself with, including the American flag as a way to demonstrate their patriotism, has been rejected as fake by liberals associated with common enemy identity politics. Foxworth's rant just restates the liberal mantra that conservative white males who are fans of Josh Allen are all enemies of the Democratic Party because they're all racist, homophobes, Islamophobes, male chauvinists, etc. The Democratic Party and their intersectional coalition also threaten those whom are associated with their protected classes, that they will lose their protected class status if they associate themselves with the Republican Party. Joe Biden specifically stated in an interview with Charlemagne that if you vote for Trump, then you ain't black.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Yeah, Ice Cube had a meeting with Donald Trump because at that time he didn't know who was going to be the next president because he was fighting for his fellow black people. And then he gets demolished by all these high and mighty black people. Well, why would any famous celebrity black guy want to do that again? You want to get that treatment that Ice Cube got?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is they police their own people. If you step outside, if you're not part of the intersectional group, if you're not part of the intersectional coalition, if you're not associated with this entire common enemy identity politics, then you're on the outs. You're then associated off as being one with the others. You're on the same, you're being the same categories as white male conservatives, and it doesn't matter. They don't care. It's, you know, it, they're just going to be stuck off. You're either going to be with us or you're going to be against us.
I think that the Democratic Party didn't shift their tactics from common humanity identity politics to common enemy identity politics until George W. Bush's presidency. But it didn't really manifest itself until around 2012 in Barack Obama's reelection campaign. Obama's first term was marked by high unemployment, a poor economy, and a failed foreign policy. Despite promises regarding how the Affordable Care Act was going to enable everyone to keep their doctors and bring down costs, healthcare rates increased massively and Americans were unable to keep their doctors. NPR specifically addresses this shift on their November 7, 2012 morning edition.
One analysis of President Obama's re-election is that he won not by going after independent voters, but by going after emerging groups in the U.S. population by race, age, and gender. Voters made clear that America is made up of many parts, and the Obama team captured more of them and delivered more of them to the polls.
What NPR failed to address is that the emergency intersectional identity groups are also independent voters. What Obama did is exclude outreach on the basis of shared principles and instead focused on opposition to the excluded independent voters, specifically the white male heterosexual. The Democratic Party's intersectional coalition is hindered by their need to placate all the different intersectional groups, whom often have conflicting goals and values. Any group that bases their positions upon shared grievances will eventually have to deal with which group is more important. During the Obama administration, different groups were pacified through the regulation of politically correct speech by protest groups paid for by supporters of the Democratic Party in what became known as cancel culture. These groups subsequently received support from media organizations whom are also supporters of the Democratic Party. The concept of cancel culture is the promotion of grievances of people who are offended. They protest audibly and demand redress. Their professed intent is re-education and suppression, but the re-education and suppression are not really directed at their target. This is all a show to re-educate and suppress the speech of the public that are bearing witness. The canceled target is just being used as an example. Celebrities like Ice Cube are being warned to know their place and to not step out of line. Support the Democratic Party line, or in Biden's words, you ain't black. That Democratic Party line means don't make disparaging comments against any of the intersectional organizations protected by the Common Enemy Identity Politics Coalition. Intersectional classes of people whom have been associated as a base of support to the Democratic Party, such as the black community, have also come to find their speech regulated as well. Kevin Hart was forced to quit as the host of the Academy Awards because of comments he had made that were interpreted as homophobic by the LGBTQ community.
The rule is that no matter what you do in your artistic expression, you are never, ever allowed to upset the alphabet people.
I personally feel it is important to be polite when you deal with other people. I think it is best to try to not hurt other people's feelings and keep emotions out of any discussion. I don't always live up to this standard myself, but this is what I aspire towards. With that being said, I feel that the politically correct activists have taken things to extremely hypocritical levels. Cancel culture isn't about correcting injustice. It is just about placating demographic groups by directing their anger in a direction that is acceptable to white Democratic Party leaders. In the process, Foxworth can make comments that denigrate an entire demographic group of Americans and their associations with the American flag and dogs, along with his views associated with Ivy League fraternities and possible association to white supremacy movements. This is the same Democratic Party that fought in support of slavery during the Civil War. They're the ones that passed Jim Crow laws in order to support common enemy identity politics and lynch their protected class of white people who try to support their black neighbors as an example to other white people in the South during Reconstruction. Their message was always, do not support the Republican Party or the black community. This is the same Democratic Party that interned the Japanese, Germans, and Italian Americans. This is the same Democratic Party under FDR who implemented the Fair Housing Act, which provided home loans for white people, but not for the minority community, and created a system of redlining. This is the same Democratic Party that built the projects in the inner cities only for single black mothers with children, and then chase the fathers out of the home through threats of revoking housing to their families. The Democratic Party is only interested in control and consistently promotes derision among the population in order to set the Democratic Party leaders up as the arbiters of the disputes that they themselves created.
Here's what they think about you. Now, We see a shift. Now he wants to work with President Trump.
It looks like from the outside looking in that Trump is using Cube as a puppet.
Here's what they think about.
We have a third wave of COVID coming right now. He's meeting with the dude that gave us three Fridays.
Some weeks ago, and there were black women who were challenging Ice Cube, saying, how come your contract with Black America doesn't include anything about black women? And how come you haven't talked to black women about this contract?
I'm not playing no more games, these political games. I'm not part of a team. So I'm going to whoever's in power, and I'm going to speak to them about our problems. Specifically, I'm not going there talking about minorities. I'm not going there talking about people of color or diversity or none of that stuff. I'm going there for black Americans. So if anybody got a problem with that, it seems like a personal problem.
Well, here's the problem, and it is very personal, as you know, for a lot of people of color, because they'll say, why would you pick Trump when he says there's no such thing as systemic inequality?
Say again. I'm not picking nobody. He's the president.
Then you say, all right, so then what's one side, what makes one side better than the other? That's where you get in trouble, which is, do you really think that Donald Trump can be trusted as much as you could trust Joe Biden?
I don't think I'm not trusting any of them. I'm just going by action.